Thank you, everyone. And as I get started, I'd also just like to acknowledge my co-authors, Derek Griffith from Vanderbilt University and Daphne Watkins from the University of Michigan School of Social Work. Today, I'm going to be giving a presentation entitled It Really Relies on the Wife to Get Men to Eat Healthy, African-American Men's and Women's Perceptions of How Wives Influence Men's Eating Behavior and Dietary Health. We have no relationships to disclose. So just to provide a little bit of background, gender-specific differences in eating behavior and dietary health are well documented. Both men and women have been complicit with traditional gendered food roles in which men tend to be less involved in food purchasing, preparation, and decision making. Men tend to have patterns of consumption that are framed as masculine, such as consuming large calorie-dense meals, including more red meat, eggs, alcohol, and sugar when compared to the diets of women. Men also tend to be less knowledgeable and concerned about nutrition and the negative health implications of unhealthy eating when compared to women in their lives, particularly compared to wives. Numerous studies have documented associations between marital status, health, and health behaviors, including healthy eating. Several, although not all, studies have suggested that married men tend to have healthier diets than unmarried men. Interdependence theory recognizes that health behaviors don't occur in a vacuum, but instead are influenced by social contexts and relationships. For example, men often take into consideration their relationships with their wives when making decisions about health and health behaviors. So this is a comparative study. We have perspectives from men and perspectives of women, so I just want to give a little bit of background of why we elected to do this. Due to the interdependent and interwoven nature of couples' lives, married couples' lives, wives and other key women in men's lives can have a unique insider-outsider perspective on men's health and health behaviors. Studies have suggested that women in men's lives, especially their wives, may be more in tune to men's health than men themselves. So for this reason, we feel that it is very valuable to examine both men's and women's perspectives on men's health. So these are the research questions for the study that I'm going to talk about today. How do marital relationships influence the eating behaviors and dietary health of middle-aged and older African-American men? How do African-American men's and women's perceptions of how wives influence men's eating behavior, how are they similar and different? And what are cultural, social, and gender factors that may promote and deter married African-American men from healthy eating? A little background on our methods. The data for the study that I'm discussing today is derived actually from a larger study called Men for Health. And this is based on a subset of our data on focus groups that address questions related to African-American men's eating behaviors and attitudes. We conducted 17 focus groups between 2008 and 2010. We divided them by gender, and so we had 9 focus groups with 83 African-American men and 8 with 77 African-American women. These were conducted in Flint, Detroit, and Ypsilanti, Michigan, which are three economically struggling urban areas in southeast Michigan, where African-American men have elevated rates of health problems associated with poor diets at higher rates compared to women and men of other racial and ethnic groups living in these areas, as well as elevated rates when compared to both state and national averages. So we conducted a series of exploratory focus groups that use a semi-structured interview guide. The primary facilitators were matched on both race and gender with the focus group participants. And the facilitators facilitated an open discourse. Their objective was really sort of to keep the discussion on track with just a handful of questions that were addressed by the focus group participants over the course of about 2 hours. But they were very open-ended, and so it really was designed to give participants the opportunity to raise issues which they felt were most salient to some of these really broad issues that we were asking about. And there were a number of questions in both interview guides, both for the men and for the women. However, only one question was specific to how do wives influence men's eating behavior. And that was one of the questions in the women's focus groups. There were actually no questions in the men's focus groups that explicitly examined this. And yet, this topic came up quite frequently and quite extensively, and so it was something that just emerged spontaneously in the focus group as a dominant theme, and so we thought it was worthy of additional exploration. We also use a systematic data organization and analysis process that we've used previously and described in detail in our publications, so if you're interested, you can read them. but we did use a phenomenological approach to explore the meaning of perspectives that the research participants assigned to a particular phenomena, in this particular case, wives' influence on men's eating, in the context of their everyday lived experience. So how wives and girlfriends influenced how and what men ate emerged in both the men's and women's focus groups as a dominant theme. It was one of the most frequently assigned themes that we identified, and it was mentioned by 61% of the male focus group participants and 81% of the female focus group participants. And throughout this presentation, I'm actually going to use the term wives to refer to both wives as well as girlfriends. Other researchers have suggested that in terms of health and health behaviors, wives and girlfriends tend to function in men's lives more similarly than they do differently, so we sort of group them together in our analyses. So this is just an overview of our participant characteristics, and I'll just walk you through this table a little bit. That middle column, men talking about men, is the characteristics of the men that participated in our focus groups. So all of them were African-American men. They averaged 57 years old, although all were between the ages of 35 and I think 79. 81% were married or had a girlfriend. About a quarter were college graduates, and I'll just skip down to the bottom. 57% had at least one chronic health condition associated with eating practices. So cardiovascular disease, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, high cholesterol, or hypertension. The far right column. So in the focus groups, we asked women to discuss one specific man that they had a close relationship with who was African American, 35 years or older, and lived in one of our cities of interest. So the far right column is actually data on the men that they were talking about. So they all were talking about African American men, half were between the ages of sort of 50 and 64. 85% were married, had a girlfriend, and similarly, 57% had at least one chronic health condition associated with dietary practices. So for this presentation, I'm going to emphasize some of the key points that we learned from this study, specifically that relate to interventions to promote healthy eating among midlife and older African-American men. So I'm just going to be able to give you snippets because it's a short presentation, but for any of those of you who would be interested in sort of more information either on our analytic procedures or on some of the quotes from participants to get a better sense of some of the actual voices of the men that participated, I do have copies of a paper that we published. Although it only describes men's perspectives, we have a second paper that's forthcoming that will provide more information on women's perspectives. So one of the areas in which men and women presented a very sort of consistent picture and description of their lives was marital food roles. According to both men and women in the focus groups, food preparation and decision making in the household was primarily wives' domain. Women made a lot of the decisions. They did most of the grocery shopping and most of the cooking. Not to say that men didn't participate, but men and women and wives generally viewed men as sort of playing a secondary role and a support role rather than sort of taking the lead on food preparation. So healthier home food environments. So given the population that we conducted our focus groups with and also the high prevalence of chronic diseases associated with diet, a common theme that came up was the need to make healthier changes in the household. And one of the issues that came up was both men and women in our focus groups identified men's health as largely a joint responsibility. Men talked about how their wives, you know, often had a great deal of insight on their health and worked very hard to sort of care for them by considering sort of their health needs in their daily lives. Women often use very sort of collaborative language to talk about men's health and that we are making changes and this is our responsibilities. So related to that, the dominant strategy that both men and women described in trying to encourage and promote healthy eating among men was to change the home food environment to make it healthier. Some of the strategies that women utilized was to limit the availability of unhealthy foods in the home, to cook healthier meals, whether by altering the ingredients, substituting lower fat proteins or reducing salt, and making more healthy options just available in the home. However, in doing so, at least according to the men in our focus groups, the women didn't seem to talk to their husbands. A lot of the men described women as making these changes to the foods that they were preparing for the household and in the home without actually talking to the men. And many of the men were frustrated with this, and they felt like, you know, I'm eating all these different foods, and my wife is changing a lot of my favorite recipes, but we're not actually openly discussing it. However, in our women's focus groups, we received a very different picture. A lot of the women talked about how they were making changes, they described the changes to their husbands. It certainly didn't sound like they were trying to trick their husbands into anything. So this was one area where we found sort of differing perspectives, and that men felt like there was no discussion, and the women certainly were giving examples of verbal communication, whether it was discussion in which both members of the couple participated, I suppose, is one thing that requires further study. So just to provide a quote, well, if you harp on it too much, you're not going to get anywhere. Oh, I'm sorry, this is from one of the wives. That's for sure. And we just have to live by the example and pray and hope that they, referring to their husbands, make that transition. If you get an opportunity to provide meals for them, you know, try and add something in their healthy, you know, whether it's fruit or just, you know, cereal. Make sure things or healthy things are in the house. So another area in which men and women had sort of different perspectives was the extent to which women versus men had influence over foods that were provided in the home. Men, almost overwhelmingly and with very few exceptions, said that their wives dominated what they ate at home more than their own preferences and desires. They mentioned that women oversaw grocery shopping and cooking. They often determined the menus for dinner, and that the men overwhelmingly expressed that they ate whatever their wives made, whether it appealed to them or not. So as one man expressed, and this was a very common sentiment, all my life I've been influenced by either my mother or my wife as far as food choices. I really didn't have any choice other than what she put in front of me at the table. We got a slightly different perspective from women, though. I mean, they certainly acknowledged that they played a dominant role in food decision making, but many of them explained numerous ways in they felt that men actually did have a lot of influence on what they were eating at home. They provided examples of men going to the grocery store and picking up the foods that their wives often purposely neglected to bring home. They would run to the corner store so that they could have snacks that they preferred and perhaps deviated from the cut fruit sitting on the table. They also described at length how they tried really, really hard to select foods that were both healthy and perhaps healthier than what they had provided in the past, but that their husbands would actually enjoy. And one of the things that a lot of the women were struggling with was sort of how to balance those needs. They were concerned about their husband's health. They wanted to make choices to support their husband's health, but yet they also wanted their husbands to be happy and to enjoy the foods at home, and that this was really a struggle. Motivations for healthy changes in men's eating was also another area where men and women differed. Women were changing the foods that they were providing at home because they were concerned about their husband's health. It was sort of very simple. They felt that healthy eating was a key element to chronic disease, particularly some of the chronic health issues that some of these men were starting to develop later in life. So they wanted to provide healthy foods. Men were eating healthy for largely other reasons. They didn't necessarily recognize healthy eating as a really important part of a healthier lifestyle and addressing chronic disease. However, they tended to view it because they valued their wives, and they valued the fact that their wives cared about them and wanted to provide them with foods and did play this dominant role in food production in the household. And they didn't want to disrupt that. They didn't want to mess it up. They certainly didn't want to upset their wives and produce conflict in their relationships. So finally, one other area where men and women had largely similar perspectives is men's eating outside the home. Both felt that men had a lot more sort of freedom to choose the foods that they liked, which tended to be preferred, although often more unhealthy options. And this seemed to be true both when men were with their wives as well as when they were on their own. So just in summary, because this is a comparative study, I thought I just wanted to break it down very simply. So men and women held similar perspectives on women's dominant role in household food production, that men's dietary health was a joint responsibility, that wives were largely a healthy influence, The wives changed the food-home environment as the dominant way of trying to promote healthy eating for their husbands, and that men tended to eat unhealthy outside of the home. But there were a couple areas in which their perceptions did differ. The issue about the amount of dialogue, or whether it really was dialogue, about some of these changes in the home, men's influence on foods that were provided at home, why men ate healthy foods, as well as the success of wives' efforts to promote healthy eating. So all of these have implications for interventions to promote healthy eating amongst African American men. Certainly engaging wives is critical. Given the important role and complicated role in which wives influence men's eating, they have to be addressed and engaged. However, engaging men is also really important. You know, we can't just have interventions where we get wives to change things because their husbands will be unhappy. I mean, a lot of these changes that appear to be occurring are frustrating men, and so they do go out and get different options outside of the home. However, I do think it is valuable to consider sort of non-traditional strategies to promote healthy eating. Some of the more typical messages of you have to eat healthier in order to be healthier don't seem to be engaging these men. They certainly are engaging the wives. So maybe it's worth consideration of other avenues, such as healthy eating and its relationship to marital health. Finally, couples communication is certainly an issue, and this is potentially one strategy that could be used to promote healthy eating amongst men more effectively in a way that might be more satisfying for both men and for women. Men's motivation for healthy eating ought to be considered, and finally, the sort of interdependence of married couples' lives is very important. Finally, just a little information on me and some of our funding sources.